Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday. I keep wanting to say the nightcap, and the nightcap hasn't even been around for a few months. But we're back this week, this upcoming week. I'm back on Monday through Friday. We're gonna be back after Chopin the Bulldog, starting at 7 o'clock on the nightcap as we get into Bill's season.
We'll bet an hour long, hour long show,
depending on what we got that night. Monday Night Football. We'll lead you into whatever's coming. We got Stanley Cup playoff action on the airways next week. We've got Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football. So we got sports.
We got stuff
all over the place. One thing that we've got is soccer on in here. Liverpool and Leeds United.
Buddy, good stuff.
And it is chaotic so far. 34th minute. It's 3-2 for Liverpool. The defending champs against Leeds. Did Leeds win the championship last year to get in the Premier League, or did they?
They got in, but I don't know if they won. If they won it all,
they might have. They might have won the play-in round or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember. All right, so that's going on. The Premier League is back. That's right. Premier League just ended. That's going to happen with hockey and NBA, too. Premier League ended, like, Liverpool won the title, what, a month ago? 2 months ago? It definitely wasn't 2 months
July
ago.
July 22nd.
So I guess it was almost 2 months. And they're back already. And that's going to happen with the NHL, where the Stanley Cup Finals are going to wrap up, and then free agency is going to happen, like, right after. Then the draft is going to happen, like, right after. And then, like, 2 weeks are going to go by in training camp. It's going to get going quick. Whether the Sabres are back anytime soon, I mean, it's not going to feel like they're just, you know, going back-to-back, because the Sabres haven't played a game in 6 months, and they might not play a game for another 3 or 4.
That's fine.
We're going to go 8, 9, 10 months without a Sabre.
We could use a break. I think we could all use a break from each other a little bit, Sabres and their fans, just let's take a little time apart.
It is going to be, it's going to feel like the least hopeful and optimistic season. It's going to feel like the least fun season ever. It really is. Devoid of hope, right. Like, I remember when Lindy Ruff, maybe it was at a Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame event, or I don't remember what it was at, but there was a time where, I think it was the 2011 season, midway through, the Sabres were pretty bad. And Lindy Ruff, like, pounded his fist on the podium at whatever event this was and said, darn it, we're going to make the playoffs. And he used the terminology, the hope tank is not empty. The hope tank is not empty. That hope tank right now is bone dry.
Ripped
it ran out
of
gas.
And sold for parts.
It ran out of gas miles ago. And it's all like, I'm not quite dead inside with it, but like, I'm reading the reports from the past couple of days that the Sabres are considering an internal cap.
What's the last piece of good news from the Sabres?
The last piece of good news was their uniforms. Easily. Not even close. Like, that was, those couple of days felt great. You want to know why? Because there was some joy and happiness when thinking about the Buffalo Sabres. And how often has that come around?
Yeah, when's the last time we had hockey joy?
Hockey joy. We miss hockey joy. R.I.P. hockey joy. God. Because we haven't had it. We've had it in bits and pieces. We had a 10-game win streak a couple of years ago. We had the uniforms that just came out, which are amazing. They nailed it. They went back to the classic uniforms. They edited the home one a little bit, and only a little bit, and it came out very nice. Those are great. Everything about the on-ice product is negative. How could you have any hope right now? Because it is, like, last year, last offseason was what? Roster surgery. That was the label that offseason was given going into it. Their roster surgery was consisted of Jimmy Vesey and Marcus Johansson. And the rest of the team was, for the most part, the same. And this year, how am I supposed to have any confidence that that's going to be different?
We're dangerously close to talking hockey right now. Do you want to keep this up?
I think we're talking hockey. I'm fine with it. Get Bill's predictions. 803-0550. Feel free to get me away from Sabre talk at this moment.
Do they keep Reinhardt if they have an internal cap?
That is a great question. Because I don't see how the math adds up if you do. And the report that I read, which might not even be true in the first place, and it only said considering. So even if they're considering, they might not do it. But if they do end up doing it, and they do come in below the cap, and I don't think the Sabres, by the way, like, I will criticize them if they do that. And almost everybody will. But they're not going to be the only team to do it. So it's not going to be...
Pittsburgh's on the list.
Pittsburgh's on the list. It's not going to be completely unique. But if they do it, how do they sign Sam Reinhardt? Because that contract also, the variation to where that comes in is pretty wide to me. I think ideally, there are plenty of comparables to Sam Reinhardt as a player that signed for $5.5 to $6 million. Tomas Hertl is a name that I think about for that. Hertl signed, I think, for $5.5 million. I'm pulling it up right now. Hertl signed $5.6 million, a short-term 3-year deal. He's got this year and the next year. Well, two more seasons of Tomas Hertl at $5.6 million. When that contract went through, I immediately thought, oh, that's the Sam Reinhardt contract. Maybe a tad above $6 million. But Sam Reinhardt, if I'm Sam Reinhardt's agent, I have every reason to ask for $9 million. And why the big gap? Because if I'm Sam Reinhardt, you signed Jeff Skinner to $9 million. And I don't think he'll get the same cap hit because the difference there, of course, is Skinner was going to be a UFA and you had to overpay him. Reinhardt, you don't have to overpay him because he is a restricted free agent. But he could go the Willie Nylander route. He could go the Ryan Johansson route from a couple of years ago. RFAs that said, I'm not playing. I'm not playing until you give me the money I want. And I wonder if that would happen with Sam Reinhardt because at the moment they have $33 million in cap space. That might sound like a lot, right?
Mm.
It's not when you consider they have four forwards under contract. Like you've got to sign 8 forwards. And a lot of those, maybe even, especially if there's an internal cap, maybe half will be entry level minimum contracts.
Right.
But the money still doesn't add up.
They might have to play Cousins simply due to money reasons.
And the fact that, you know, if you compare him to your other options at minimum contracts, even if he's not ready for the league, he might be better than your alternatives. So it would come to, I think if that happens, it will come down to Ristolainen or Reinhardt. And for almost everybody, I think that would be a pretty easy decision.
For sure.
But it doesn't have to mean that that's what they'll do.
Well, there's a problem here. Radio's Jeremy White loves to point out that teams should always go after restricted free agents if they feel like there's an opportunity to do so. And I got bad news for you. Guess who is a good opportunity to get if you're another team right now because Ooh. The Sabres might not be able to match? One Sam Reinhardt.
I'm not sure I wouldn't be against the team offer sheeting Sam Reinhardt. It depends what the money would come in at. If someone... No, actually, you know what? I wouldn't. I'm looking at I'm pulled up the new compensation. And 6.5 to 8.7, which I can't imagine a team going higher than that.
Right.
Would be a first, a second, and a third. Would I trade Sam Reinhardt? And imagine a team does this. It's probably a good team that thinks Sam Reinhardt is like their final piece.
Yeah.
No one that's bad is going to risk trading a top 10 pick or a top 5 pick.
Correct.
So a good team is going to do this. So would you trade Sam Reinhardt for a late first, a late second, and a late third? Because I would not do that at all. I definitely wouldn't do that. Now, if they came in and said, we're going to give him 9, and suddenly the Sabres get 2 first-round picks, a second and a third, then I think I'd probably do it. It's a difference of a first-round pick there.
You said the Sabres
have... So maybe I would not prefer that a team offer sheet him.
You said the Sabres had like $33 million in cap space, right?
$33 million, with four forwards under contract, by the way.
Does that take into account an internal cap of 70?
No, that's up to what the cap was this past season, which is supposed to remain flat.
So what would their cap space be if they had a theoretical cap that was internal? Lower than 33?
$23 million.
Oh, my God.
And let's say we cut a 10. It would be $23 million. So, and that is without contracts to Victor Olofsson, by the way. And that's not going to be expensive, but he could get $3 million bucks after the season he just had, I would think.
How are they so bad?
They've got to sign Montour or trade him. Montour would probably be the casualty. Montour would... Are you paying him if you're going to cut salary? I don't think so. Allmark's got to get paid. And again, that's like Olofsson for me. It's not going to be a big cap hit. But Allmark's got a resume to get $3 million a year. So that's $6 million right there between Allmark and Olofsson. And Thompson will need a deal. That'll be probably just a tender, though. That'll be a minimum. Dominic Cahoon needs a contract. That's going to be a couple million. And suddenly, I've already spent half of that cap space. And I've also got to replace Larson if he doesn't come back, Girgensons if he doesn't come back, VC if he doesn't come back, Simmons, who I assume won't be coming back, Frolik. Like, these are all guys that I don't want to bring back, don't get me wrong, but they were all playing on your team, and you've got to fill those minutes somewhere. And where does that end up coming? The likelihood is, and Chad Dinaminisis, I think, pointed this out yesterday on social media, get ready for a bunch of guys that were playing for the Amerks last year in entry-level deals to be brought up, not even necessarily because you think that they're ready and you think that they're, you know, they're going to make a big jump, but just because they're cheap. Like, Mittelstadt might not be ready to be in the NHL this year, which is amazing to say, but he might not. But he's probably going to be here because he's making $900,000 or whatever he ends up making.
This is what happens when you really screw up your development, because they signed those big contracts to Eichel and the people they really wanted to when they had a window with those big contracts and their cap space to be able to make a run. And they missed that run because they were so bad. And now they have large contracts that are screwing up their cap, and it's going to screw up their development too, because they can't find the depth guys and pay depth guys anymore. They have to replace them with kids who aren't ready yet.
I think the only thing to be hopeful about right now with them, and it's a big thing, like, they have this. Eichel and Dahlin, I will always say it, whenever even we're talking about like how like the hope tank is empty, those two are pillars of an organization that you can build around. Like, you've got the two hardest things. You found a franchise center, and you have a guy that's capable and should take a jump soon as a franchise defenseman. Those are the two hardest things to find. You got it. The problem is, you haven't done the easy part. And there's no reason to think at this point, to me, that they're gonna. Because, all due respect to Kevin Adams, I can't feel too hopeful about that GM hire. I just can't. And maybe he does pull it off, and maybe he builds a team that is better than what Jason Botterill had going and what's better than Tim Murray had a couple of years before that. Maybe he does do a better job than those two. But what am I supposed to base that off of? I've got nothing. Eichel needs to keep being an MVP level player, which he was already. And Dahlin needs to take a jump to be a Norris Trophy level defenseman. That's really all I'm waiting for. And Dylan Cousins, I guess, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. There's two prospects that should end up being important players for this team that you could count on it. You should be able to count on it. Everyone else is a flyer. We're waiting for Dahlin to be one of the best defensemen in hockey. He's already a really good top four defenseman at 19. But that's the next thing. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for Dahlin. And until that happens, I don't know what type of argument I'm supposed to make that has them anywhere near playoff contention. I just don't see it. How did we get on the Sabres? Did I do it? I think I did do it. I brought it up. The Bills play tomorrow. And I'm in here yelling about Johan Larsson. Ugh. Bills predictions, 803-0550. I'm so sorry to damper the mood. It's so easy to do it, too, when you bring them up. But this should be an exciting day. We're less than 24 hours away from Bills versus Jets. The Buffalo has a football team that is favored to win a division for the first time since I was born. I'm here talking on the radio. I am a young guy. I'm 25 years old. 1994 was the last time that I have here that they were favored to win their division. They are currently favored to win the AFC East. And tomorrow, they play a team that nobody likes in the New York Jets, especially around here. Who likes the Jets? Jets fans don't even like the Jets. And they're probably really bad. And the Bills are primed to blow them out. That's what I want to be talking about. That's what I need to be talking about here. What's the minimum you would take for tomorrow? I asked Sal this question. We got time to take it here. 803-0550. What is the minimum you would take in tomorrow's game? Nate said he wouldn't sign up for a one-point victory. 17-16. The exact same game as last year. And I think I agree with him. I would not take a one-point victory against the New York Jets. There is no reason that team should be able to play a competitive game with you. The quarterbacks are maybe the closest in terms of Bills versus Jets. Like, the difference between the quarterbacks is maybe only marginal. Because I honestly believe Sam Darnold has been snake bitten. I would take Josh Allen over him right now. But if the Bills got Sam Darnold in the 2018 draft and had done all that they've done in terms of supporting their young quarterback, Sam Darnold would be doing way better than he's been doing on the New York Jets. Like, that should be easy to see. But past him, the Jets receivers stink. Their offensive line has a lot of changes. Four new starters. They could be good. Four new starters, no preseason games. The Bills' defensive line has got some pretty good continuity. They got a couple new guys too. Vernon Butler, Quentin Jefferson, Mario Addison. The Jets' defense, they suffered maybe the biggest opt-out of any team in the league with C.J. Mosley, linebacker for the Jets, opting out for the season. Remember last year? C.J. Mosley was playing great. He was leading that Jets defense to a shutout over the Bills. The Bills had not scored a point. Mosley was beating the Bills' offense. Didn't he had a pick six? Or was that not last year? Maybe I'm thinking, maybe he just had a pick or something. He goes out, and the Bills roar back and make up a 16-point deficit. He's not there this year. They traded Jamal Adams, who was their best player. And the Bills, meanwhile, added Stephon Diggs, added Zach Moss, an upgrade over Frank Gore. The guy the Bills needed to upgrade from and did is now supposed to be a fix on the Jets as a supplementary piece at running back, Frank Gore. So that should tell you all you need to know about the kind of offseasons these two teams had. It's a microcosm of it. The Bills needed to get better from Frank Gore at running back next to Devin Singletary. They did, and the Jets picked up Frank Gore. That's where the Jets are. They are picking up scraps, hoping that their quarterback is going to bail them out. The Bills are doing the opposite. The Bills, Josh Allen almost never needs to bail the Bills out because the defense is so good and the pieces around him are so good. The coaching is so good. How often does Josh Allen need to bail the Bills out as much as Sam Darnold needs to do for the Jets? The coach is just, it's a strange situation. He's a strange coach, it seems. There are reports he doesn't talk to his players. He only talks to the quarterbacks, and that assistants are the ones that like give speeches and motivate the guys and are the ones talking to the team at halftime and after games and before games. There's a lot of weird stuff. There's a lot of drama with the Jets. The Bills have none of that. The Bills have no drama. They have a better all-around roster. And the quarterback is, at this point, further along. So why are the Jets going to be competitive? Double-digit victory. That's what I would take. I would expect nothing less than the Bills to beat the Jets by double digits. I don't need them to run them over and win 42-3, but that would be nice. Josh Allen would probably have a 300-yard game finally if that happened. But give me a double-digit victory. This is the easiest game on the schedule. Don't let them hang around. Don't let them get out to a lead. You want to show people why they picked the Bills to win the AFC East around the country? You want to show that you are on the same level as the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens? You smoke the Jets at home. You control the game from beginning to end. Because I don't see an advantage the Jets have over the Bills at anything. Kicker, maybe. Just because it's Stephen Hauschka, or because it's Tyler Bass's first game. But I like Tyler Bass. I know Sal brought him up, like maybe they'll have some struggles in the kicking game, his first game, and it's windy. I think Bass is immediately better than Hauschka was last year. That's why I think, big reason why they drafted him in the first place. So, all right, how many predictions do we end up getting? We got in the double digits. I'm okay with that. Only about a fifth of what I was hoping for, but 10, 11, 10, 12, 9, 9, 6, and 1, 12, 10, 10.
Time to have a 15-hour show.
I'm at 9. Nobody wants to go under 9.
That's interesting, because they could be terrible.
The Bills?
Oh, yeah. Think about last year.
I don't think they could be terrible.
They got lucky last year, and they also played a lot of crap quarterbacks.
But, Corey, 2 years ago, their roster stunk, and they won 6 games. I can't believe they won't be at least 2 games better than that.
They could get guys hurt.
They could. Okay, sure. They could get guys hurt. They could.
Josh Allen.
But past that, I don't think they can do less than 500.
You could get second half Josh Allen in the wild card game for a lot this year. And, yeah.
I hope not.
Well, sure.
But you're right. It's in there. That is in there for him.
Do you remember the Browns game last year and how just awful it felt to watch that game? And it's hard to remember because there were so many good moments that came afterwards. But the moment of watching that Browns game, of watching the Bills offense just completely struggle and just like just getting so frustrated,
yep,
watching Allen be a bad quarterback. I'm trying to think, like, if Allen comes out and looks like that against the Jets, what will be the state of affairs on Monday for Bills fans? Allen looks bad. Maybe they still win. What if they win a close game, but Allen looks like complete garbage?
This is why I wish they signed Cam Newton before he went to the Patriots. I was banging the drum for that. It probably was never going to happen because Newton kind of proved by going to New England on like a minimum contract that all he wanted to do was start. But I really wanted Cam Newton here. I wanted that plan B in case he doesn't progress.
There are huge implications everywhere for the Bills because if Allen doesn't work, it's going to have ramifications for Bean and for McDermott. And it's also going to have ramifications for this entire project because they're geared up and ready to go.
Well, the good thing for what the Bills have done, they're in a cap situation. They're in such a good cap situation that, and I'm not assuming this is going to happen. I think maybe the least likely outcome is that Allen flames out. But it is not impossible. It's not completely unreasonable to think that could happen. I think he's going to be marginally better than he was last year. That's my educated guess. He could be a lot better, and he could be worse. If he is worse, the good thing for me in thinking about next year, I don't think you have this in the cards at all for this year. If Allen's not good against the Jets, it's going to still be like a season-long conversation. They're never pulling him.
Right.
They're never pulling him for Matt Barkley.
Correct.
If they ever even thought that they would need to get to a point where they pulled him, they would have gone after a Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would have gone after Cam Newton more so before he signed with New England. Or they would have gone after Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton. There were plenty of starting quality backup options they could have brought in. Marcus Mariota. And they didn't do it, which is fine. Because they're expecting more progress from their quarterback. And I think I would have signed one of those guys, but 8 out of 10 Bills fans wouldn't have.
Right.
And 8 out of 10 people that have that would be running the Bills, like Brandon Bean, obviously was never going to do it, and a lot of GMs were never were not going to do that. Look what the Bears took it to year 3 to get that for Trubisky. But the good news is, and I'm setting this up for a future conversation that hopefully we never have to have.
Right.
I really hope we never have to have it, and I would guess we never have to have this conversation. But if it doesn't go well, the Bills are set up to go add a veteran quarterback to help them win a Super Bowl right now.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not that far away where we're going to be talking about, do they extend Allen? And the Bills, I think of past teams, even in a mediocre season for Allen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Where you don't see growth would have extended him.
I will be in here talking about trading for Aaron Rodgers.
And I wonder,
at the end of the season.
And
no doubt will I be in here doing that if that happens.
Will the Bills have the guts to make a call on Allen? It's indecisive.
I think they will. And Brandon Bean gives me confidence in that. He is a go-getter. He can be aggressive when he needs to.
That's my inclination too.
So my inclination is they would. And again, maybe we shouldn't have brought this up because people are probably yelling at the radio. It's not going to need to happen.
It's going to be such a fun year.
But my overall point is, and this is why there's so much pressure on Allen this year, the roster is Super Bowl caliber. It is. And if the quarterback can't match that, if he can't also be Super Bowl caliber, then I'm going to want to see if there's another Super Bowl caliber quarterback out there. Because I have it in the back of my head that Green Bay drafted a first-round quarterback last year. And I know he's old. But Aaron Rodgers is still really good.
You only need one year out of Rodgers.
I like Josh Allen. I don't want to get that wrong. But something in the back of my head keeps picturing Aaron Rodgers in a Bills uniform next year.
See, worst case is
but
that.
Again,
That's worst case.
That's worst case. Man, that's a pretty good worst case.
Best case is Allen's good.
And I think, again, that's probably, it's much more likely. Much more likely than he's not even their quarterback next year. I think Josh Allen's their quarterback in 2021, and I think the Bills are contenders. I just want to put that out there. Just to make sure that people know I'm not trying to be a hater or anything. I'm just saying that the jury's out. The jury's out. All right, 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got any last predictions, throw them our way. But we're going to hear from Greg Cosell coming up in the back half of this hour. NFL Films, some really good analysis, as always, from Greg on the Bills roster, on Allen's mechanics going into the season and his matchups early in the year against some weak defenses to start. Jets, Dolphins, Raiders. Like, Allen's got a pretty favorable schedule to get off to a hot start with the Bills this year. So we'll hear from Cosell, who joined One Bills Live yesterday, right after the Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase and Corey Griswold on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase, Corey Griswold hanging out here on WGR. Greg Cosell from NFL Films and ESPN Matchup joined Steve Tasker and Chris Brown yesterday on One Bills Live, previewing Bills versus Jets and some of the other NFL matchups around the league. Let's get to Greg Cosell here with the guys.
It's good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. You know, I think March 12th might have been the last time I was outside, or close to it. But right.
Yes, we all turned in.
I'm actually glad to be back in my office here at NFL Films. It had been quite a long time. But as I was joking with someone, this wasn't the summer of love for me. This was the summer at home, right, where all I did was basically read books and watch tape.
Yeah, so we all turned into our house turned into caves, and we all turned into
hermits.
Mushrooms.
We all turned into hermits.
Yeah, we're all mushrooms.
I know.
Patches. Yeah, it's good to have you back, and we've got it. You know, what did you think? First of all, what do you think about the league actually ramping up and actually getting this thing kicked off? I mean, a couple of months ago, I thought it's going to be a gargantuan effort when baseball was all broken out with COVID-19 and all the other sports were bubbled up and they were delayed and paused. And the NFL kicking off on time last night with the Chiefs and Texans really seems like a gargantuan accomplishment.
I got to tell you, I was not certain that this would happen, which would have been sad for a lot of people, obviously, including myself. But let's just hope it can continue. You know, I think if we can make it through the first two or three weeks and be okay, I think they'll probably have a pretty good feel for it continuing. But hey, I'm all for caution. You know, I'm all for testing. I'm all for caution. I know that's the way I'm living my life right now. So that's the way it'll be.
Well, as we know, Greg, when it comes to the Jets and the Bills as of late, the natural magnetic storyline seems to be these two quarterbacks who will forever be linked as members of the 2018 draft class, both now entering year three of their respective careers, and both players kind of finished the regular season on an uptick. You know, Josh, 10 touchdowns, 2 picks over his last 8 games. Darnold, 13 touchdowns, 5 picks over his last 8 games. I mean, both of those guys showed a noticeable improvement down the stretch. What do you think is fair to anticipate from these two gentlemen in year three?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, Chris, because, you know, I think that they have defined ways in which they play. You know, I think we know what kind of player Josh Allen is. He's certainly capable of wow plays with his arm and with his legs. He's flashed the ability to make outstanding velocity and ball placement throws, both from the pocket and off movement. But we also know, if you're being realistic, that there is an inconsistency and erratic nature to his game. You know, I think that as the season progressed, there were times I really felt like he had improved, and then he would miss some routine throws. And I think with Josh Allen, he misses, to use a basketball metaphor, I think that he misses a few too many layups. And I think if he can get better at that, then he would have a chance to be really special. Now, there was some improvement in that area. We saw at times him hit Cole Beasley on the kinds of third down throws that quarterbacks have to make in this league. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, he there's no question that the ability with his size, his arm strength, his movement ability, those are special traits. And you just would like to see the consistency continue.
And what about Sam Darnold, who was derailed in the first half of last year? The team struggled to a 1-7 start.
Yeah, mono.
Yeah, and then he got back on the field, and they improved pretty markedly with him in the second half of the year.
Yeah, Darnold's an interesting guy. He's another guy that's capable of outstanding throws, but he has to be far more consistent with his ball placement. His lower body mechanics, I know when he came out, I struggled with this. Now, I'm a purist, but I struggled with this. And a lot of people say, well, that's just the way he throws, you know, so you have to live with it. You know, to me, and maybe it's because I was very fortunate in my career to spend a lot of time with Bill Walsh, to me, if you're coaching a quarterback, you don't say that you're going to live with poor mechanics. I think he needs a lot of work with his lower body mechanics. He's got to be much more refined and buttoned up on the details of the position, both physically and mentally. I view Sam Darnold as a young quarterback still learning the position. And in some ways, you could say the same about Josh. But I think right now, Josh has showed a little more than Sam has. And again, people can get into the nature of the teams. When I watch a quarterback, guys, I isolate the quarterback. I'm not interested in his completion percentage or the touchdowns, or I'm just isolating the position and really studying in detail the traits and the attributes.
Talking to NFL Film senior producer Greg Cosell, who also co-hosts ESPN's NFL Matchup Show with Matt Bowen and Sal Palantonio. That'll be airing on Saturday on ESPN2 at 8 a.m. and then 6:30 a.m. on Sunday. And we've gotten about 5 minutes into this interview, Greg, and we haven't asked you about the guy that everybody in Buffalo is excited to see make his debut with the Bills, one Stephon Diggs. So we know this is a guy that's had a high catch rate at 81.8 last year. We know that this is a guy that made a sharp increase in his receiving average last year and was among the league leaders in yards per reception. What kind of an impact should Bills fans expect from Stephon Diggs being in and part of this passing game now?
Well, I think now, when you look at the Bills now, I think you look at a situation where they've got a really good combination in their receiving core, because I look at Diggs as kind of the movement Z receiver. You can line him up anywhere. You can put him in motion, get him off the ball. I think that ultimately you have John Brown, who lined up a lot last year as the X. He's the receiver on the line of scrimmage. You've got a slot receiver in Cole Beasley. Diggs is a really refined and nuanced route runner. And I think he's not a true vertical dimension, but because he's very refined as a route runner, he knows how to attack corners. He knows how to break down the cushion. He can win over the top. So when you combine this with John Brown, and now you have to look at Josh Allen, who we all know struggled to throw the ball down the field last year. He missed far too many. If Josh can improve in that area, this is a pretty complete receiving core. And I got to tell you, I'm a big fan, and he may not be a volume target in this offense, but I'm a big fan of Dawson Knox.
Yeah, why is that?
I think he's really athletic. I think he's a really good receiver. I think he fits the mold of today's tight ends in the NFL, where you can split him, where he can line up in what we call 1x3 sets, where the tight end is the single receiver to the short side of the field, to the boundary side. You know, I think back to that ball he caught against New England late in the season last year, which was, I believe, initially called a touchdown, but ended up being down at the 1 yard line where he just ran by Patrick Chung. You know, and we're looking at him right now, and you just see the body type. I mean, this kid is a really, really good athlete. He just didn't have production in college because he played at, you know, with A.J. Brown and Metcalf and another receiver there, DeMarcus Lodge. But I think this that he could really develop into a quality NFL tight end.
Well, one of the other places that the Bills seem to have upgraded their talent is they traded, seemingly, you know, Frank Gore away and brought in Zach Moss. Seems to be a little bit more similar to Devin Singletary than Frank Gore was a year ago. Now, of course, Frank Gore coming back to Buffalo this weekend as a member of the Jets. But Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, a nice young 1-2 punch at the running back position. How do you see those two?
Yeah, I think that they're different. You know, to me, Singletary is much more of the explosive back, the back who can get on the perimeter and who can create some explosive plays. To me, Moss is a workmanlike, nuanced runner. He's got great patience, vision. He's a high-level contact balance runner, great finishing traits. You know, he's your classic sustaining tackle-breaking grinder. You know, it's funny. I even thought there were elements of Frank Gore in his game. And, of course, I studied this pre-draft before I knew who would draft him, and I thought that he was similar to Gore in terms of size, running style, contact balance, competitiveness. So I really liked Zach Moss. He's just not a breakaway speed guy, but, you know, he's very tight-hipped in the open field. He's not a home run hitter. He's not a second gear guy, but that's okay. I think in today's NFL, and you guys know this, you don't see a lot of 60-yard touchdown runs. So right. To me, that is not really a true negative or a true weakness.
More with Greg Cosell right after this on WGR. Welcome back. Last segment here, Joe DiBiase and Corey Griswold on WGR, Sports Talk Saturday. Greg Cosell from NFL Films on with One Bills Live. Let's continue on with his discussion with the guys.
Looking at the Jets offense, Adam Gase was quoted as saying this week, Greg, that he has a little bit of concern in terms of being properly prepared for this Bills defense. He mentioned he mentioned quarters coverage in particular because he said, we really don't see that kind of a look from the Greg Williams defense in practice.
No.
What do you make of that, and how big an issue could that be, knowing all of the time on the field that every team in the NFL has missed through the course of the spring and summer?
Well, it's funny you say that. Last week I did a deep dive on the Bills defense. I was real curious because, you know, you get a totally different feel when you watch 300 snaps in a row versus when I watch a team week, you know, each week. So, you know, with this offseason, I was able to do that. And boy, they, number one, they're very fundamentally disciplined, but they're a little more multiple than people might think. And when they blitz, they blitz a lot of different players from a lot of different spots, but they do play cover four or quarters. It's a foundational coverage for Sean McDermott. He did that when he was in Carolina, and he's obviously brought it to Buffalo. And yeah, if you don't see it a lot, I mean, it's not a defense where you go, oh my God, what do we do? But, you know, there's certain concepts that you want to run against quarters. Look, every zone has holes, and every zone can't cover everything. Otherwise, everybody would play the same zone. So, you know, there are certain route concepts where you want to basically flood zones. You want to attack the safety and the corner in quarters. And Adam Gase knows how to do that. It's just they don't practice it a lot in their camp, but he knows how to do that. So we'll see. You know, it's obviously you need repetition against it, and I'm sure they've worked on it this week.
How much does it mean that the Jets defense, who was pretty good at times last year, particularly with C.J. Mosley and Jamal Adams in the lineup, but you take those two guys out of it, and how many proven players do they have, and what are they going to? How will that affect their defense?
Yeah, Greg Williams is one of the best in the league. He's been doing this a long time. You guys obviously know he was in Buffalo for a little bit, but as a D coordinator, I think it's his 20 or 21st year doing this. He knows an awful lot of things. He knows NFL offense. He's somewhat limited in personnel, but he was a year ago as well, and they actually played pretty well. If you want to sum up Greg Williams, you'd probably say that he's aggressive, but he also plays a ton of cover two.
All right, there's Greg Cosell. Thanks, everybody, for listening throughout the day. Thanks, everybody, for calling in with your Bills predictions. We'll take more predictions, I'm sure, on the air tomorrow. Me and Nate Geary will be kicking things off in Bills pregame at 10 a.m. Our coverage starts at 7 a.m. with my brother Lou DiBiase, Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style, so tune in for him from 7 to 8. Jeremy and Nate take things over for the next 2 hours thereafter, and then me and Nate get going. You'll hear from me starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. If you don't hear from me then, enjoy the game, enjoy Bills Jets, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.